Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all this morning. And what a wonderful morning to say, He is risen. We've got a few people who know that. He is risen indeed, you know. You can see who's kind of been in church for many years and those maybe haven't been familiar with the church's traditions, but He is risen. He is risen indeed. Before I jump into the message, I want to invite you as well. Two quick things. We have a mission trip coming up in June to Tahlequah, Oklahoma. We're going to be visiting Tom and Joyce's church. Tom and Joyce Lyle were longtime members here at Grace Point. And we're going to be taking a team down there mid-June. So if you'd like to be a part of that, on the table at the back where Bill is standing, just the little round table, there's an information sheet, and you just need to pick that up and email me, and then we'll begin next month. We'll begin preparing for that. And then this coming week, Friday and Saturday, we are partnering with an organization called City Serve that brings in goods and materials and things for people who are less fortunate, and it's all kinds of supplies, from household goods to basic needs. But we need help in sorting. They've got truckloads of goods that have been donated that have come in. So it needs to be sorted into different categories. And so, Bill, do you want to just kind of wave your hand really high there? There he is, dancing at the back. If you would be able to help Friday or Saturday, anytime, speak to Bill. We're looking for some volunteers just to help sort and categorize goods that eventually are going to come here. We're going to be storing some of them here and be taking them out in the week in May when we're doing a citywide outreach. So thank you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we serve a risen Savior. And Lord, that we can celebrate today your resurrection. We can celebrate what you have done for us. Oh Lord, we praise you and glorify you. We worship you. So Lord, as we gather around your word now, I pray that you would speak to us. You would challenge us. And Lord, that you would be speaking to us and not just the words of ideas of man, but that we'd hear from you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On Friday, Joshua and I were driving down the road, and we were talking about Easter, and I was telling him how much I love this time of the year. I love spring, and with the promise of summer coming, I love Resurrection Sunday, the best day of the year. And I was telling him how much I enjoyed it and how much I appreciated it. And he said, so where does the Easter bunny and the candy and the eggs fit into this? And I said, well, good question. Where does it fit into this? And, you know, we got to be so careful. We got to constantly remind ourselves of the priority of what this weekend represents for us as believers. Because we celebrate, but sometimes we can get lost in the celebration. We can get lost in plans for family dinners. We can get lost in plans for, you know, getting Easter dresses and having family photographs taken and really enjoying and celebrating together. We can forget sometimes we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is our priority and at this time of the year. You know, this week is the final week in our series of the I Ams of Jesus. And today we get to look at the I Am that Jesus said in John chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. And He is victorious. We know Jesus overcame death. He is alive. He conquered death. And because He conquered death, we do not have to fear death. You know, earlier in our sunrise service, those who were brave enough to come to the sunrise service, and it was really nice and comfortable because we were indoors, not outside. But we looked at Matthew's account of the resurrection when Mary and the disciples went to the tomb and they found out that the tomb was empty. And they can imagine their emotions through this weekend. They've gone from fear, from mourning, from grief, to uncertainty, to doubt, to hope, to absolute joy in the resurrection of Jesus and celebration. And today, as we look at that statement, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And we'll be looking at the account of when Jesus raised his friend Lazarus back to life. Now, I know it's not an Easter passage. It's not about the resurrection of Jesus, but you'll see how we tie it in a moment. But turn with me to John chapter 11. And John chapter 11, the account of Lazarus, fills the whole chapter practically. So we're going to read sections of that as we go through. So you're going to need to have your Bibles open. And if you have a Bible on your phone, which everybody does, you can have that open with you as well. But we're going to read the first six verses of John chapter 11 to begin with. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. So as we look at these passages in John chapter 11 today, there's three things I want to pull out. There's three points I want to make. The first one is in the form of a question. Why does God seem to take long sometimes to pause before giving the answer? Why does God wait sometimes before we receive the answer to our prayers? Look at verse 6. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now, Jesus traveled to Judea frequently in his ministry. He went there, and when he would go, he would stay in Bethany with Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. And when Lazarus became ill, the sisters sent a messenger to Jesus and said, your friend Lazarus is ill. And Jesus said, he's not going to die. Don't worry, he's not going to die. This is going to lead to my Father's glory. Verse 4. So instead of rushing to Bethany to help his friend, instead of immediately making plans to go to Bethany, Jesus stayed 2 days longer. He delayed, he waited. Now, we know that he loved Martha, he loved Mary, he loved Lazarus. But even though he knew the pain the sisters were going through, even though he knew the distress that they were going through, he delayed, he waited. You know, delay in response to our prayers is not a sign of a lack of love. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The individual love that Jesus had towards these was quite significant because he loved each one uniquely as they were unique in their own ways. They had different personalities, different situations in life. And we look at the account and we apply it to our lives, and in this story, we're sometimes the Martha, sometimes we're the Mary, and we're praying for the Lazarus. It could be a person, it could be something a dream that we've had, it could be something that we hold dear to that's about to be torn from us, and we're praying for it, and the Lord seems to be delaying in his response to our prayers, and we're waiting. How often have you prayed for God to intervene in something and nothing seems to happen? There's a delay. There's a wait. There's a silence from God. But God didn't delay. God's timing is always perfect. You know that God heard your prayer. You know God heard your prayer. So why does it seem like he's waiting? Why does it seem like he's delaying in his response? Maybe you're there right now. Maybe the Lazarus you're praying for is in a desperate situation and you don't seem to have the answer. Let me give a quick warning here. Last week we spoke about Jesus, where he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And we heard that the Father is the vine dresser, and the vine dresser sometimes prunes off branches, cuts off branches of things in our lives that God knows we don't need to hold on to anymore. Those things that need to be pruned and cut away and taken away. And sometimes those things are good, but God takes them away from us because he wants us to produce fruit. He wants us to grow in our faith and our love for him. So I'm not talking about that, because the Lazarus in your life is something God has given you, God has promised you. Or maybe it's a loved one he has given to you. And you're praying for healing, you're praying for a miracle, you're praying for that business not to die, you're praying for that ministry opportunity not to die, and God seems to be delaying. There seems to be a waiting. God says, wait. Let's turn back to John chapter 11, and I want to read further and look at verse 20 to 27, and then I'll jump to verse 32. Beginning at verse 20, so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And then jumping to verse 32. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man also have kept this man from dying? So the second point I want to make from this text is, when does God seem to act too late? From our perspective, when is it we've been waiting and waiting and waiting and it seems like it's too late? Not even a miracle would make anything different. It's too late. The moment has passed. And notice the sequence of events here very carefully. After receiving the message from Mary and Martha, Jesus decided to wait 2 days. Look at the timeline. 1 day for the messenger to travel to Jesus. Jesus waited 2 days, and then he took 1 day to go to Bethany. That's 4 days. And if we read into it that Lazarus had been dead 4 days, that when the messenger came to Jesus, Jesus said, this sickness does not lead to death. Lazarus was already dead. He'd already died. So do you think Jesus made a mistake? Do you think Jesus didn't know that? Or did Jesus mean something else? There's a tension here between the two realities in the story. On the one hand, we're told that Jesus loves and loved Martha and Mary. Jesus loved Lazarus. But on the other hand, he delayed. He delayed action until Lazarus had died. It was too late. The sisters noticed this. Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died in verse 21. And Mary says exactly the same thing. It seems like they'd been talking. Man, if Jesus was just here, he would not have died. He could have done something. The Jews who were there, they said the same thing. Verse 37, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have also kept this man from dying? At times that tension exists in life. We know, we believe that Jesus loves us. And it seems like it's too late. We wrestle with things because when we don't receive relief from the pain, when we don't receive the miracle we're asking for, and we're waiting on God, and Satan loves to throw in fear and doubt, and begin to throw in doubt into our minds as to, does God really love you? Does he really listen to you? Is he really listening to your prayers? Job was a righteous man. He loved God, and God afflicted him with all kinds of pain and suffering. Job cried out, remove this, save me, remove the affliction, remove the pain. For a long time, Job was in suffering, and he didn't see relief. The Bible's full of accounts of men and women who go through times of suffering that seems to be prolonged. And it seems like it's too late, but God's never too late. Why does God do this? Why does he seem to do this? Jesus said it's for the glory of God. It's for his glory. Verse 4 says, Jesus said, it is for the glory of God so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So what did Jesus do? He came into the situation. Mary and Martha are grieving, and he doesn't immediately swing into action and perform a miracle. No, he goes and ministers to them. He comforts them. He cares for them. He weeps. He mourns with them. Bear in mind, if you don't know, the ancient Greeks, their idea of gods, their little g gods, was someone, the term that they used was apatheia, which we get the word apathetic from, which literally means that this god that they worship has no emotion whatsoever, does not feel joy, has the total inability. God, the Greek gods had no ability to express emotion, sadness. They were isolated, passionless, and compassionless, but not Jesus. Jesus felt their pain. Jesus mourned with them. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 tells us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted just as we are, and yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus feels our emotions. Jesus' interactions with the two sisters was quite different, because Martha was much more extroverted and bold, and Jesus speaks to her directly. Mary was more introverted, more reflective. She stayed behind when Martha went out and spoke to Jesus. Martha was disappointed, frustrated probably, voiced her frustration to Jesus, and Mary was in pain, and she wept. At times it looks like God has failed you. At times it looks like God has missed the timing. It's been too late. But he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise from Jesus. He is faithful to minister to you. Jesus will minister to you the way he knows you to be. He knew how to treat Mary and how to treat Martha. So when Jesus knew that Lazarus would soon be raised, Jesus knew that he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he stopped. And he knew that their grief would be turned into joy in a few moments, but he grieved with them. He didn't say, it's going to be okay. Just ignore it. You'll be fine. Just wait. No, he grieved with them. He wasn't like some funeral director that just puts on a show. He was really grieving with them. He was mourning with them. He was deeply moved. We read in verse 33. That phrase, deeply moved, is kind of lost in our translation. But in the Greek, it means he was indignant. In fact, a better word would be that he was angry. He was mad. Jesus was angry at death. He wasn't just sad. He was angry because death was the enemy that he came to overcome. Death was the enemy that he had come to slay. And so when he was confronted with enemy, with a love, the enemy in a loved one's life, he was angry. And he showed his anger. And Jesus said to them in verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." Remember earlier he said, well, this illness doesn't lead to death. This illness that he has doesn't lead to death. So now Jesus is saying this, he will rise again. Do you think they could trust him a second time? Seems like he let them down the first time. Can they trust Jesus now? And you know, most of the Jews believed in the resurrection of the dead. They believed that there is a life after this, that we will be raised to life, to new life, when Jesus came again, when the Messiah comes again. And so they believed that. And so the Jews were probably telling her, yeah, your brother will rise again. Jesus is right. So Martha responds, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She knew her theology. She knew that, yeah, this will happen. She probably learned this from childhood. She was probably reminding herself of that. I'm going to see Lazarus again one day. But Jesus' response in verse 25 and 26 says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives in and believes in me shall never die. And he points to Martha. He says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do we believe this? Those who believe in Jesus have the resurrection power of Jesus in their lives. And it's not just a power that raises us up one day when Jesus comes again, but it's the resurrection power to live life now through loss, through pain. In John chapter 5, Jesus said in verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. That resurrection power, that resurrected life begins the moment we give our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord. Those who believe in Jesus have already passed from death to life. We're fully alive in Christ. We were spiritually dead, but in Christ we were made alive. So the question to Martha and the question to you and to me is, do you believe this? Do we live fully alive? Do we live as resurrected people, spiritually alive in Christ? And her answer, verse 27, was such a powerful declaration. It sounded like Peter. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And thirdly, God keeps his promise. God always keeps his promises. Reading further on in John chapter 11, picking up at verse 38, we're going to read to verse 44. Then Jesus, deeply moved, there's that deeply moved again. Jesus was, he was riled up. He was angry. Came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there'll be an odor, for he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Jesus arrived at the tomb and he said, take away the stone, remove the stone. Martha protested. It was hard for her to believe Jesus. It was hard for her to trust him again. Now, Jesus simply said in more words, trust me. Trust me. Do you trust me? The tomb had to have her permission because she was the relative. They need to have Martha's permission to move the stone. That's why Jesus had this interaction with her. Jesus called Lazarus. He called out in a loud voice. First, he had a public prayer on behalf of the people around him. And he called to Lazarus, and he came out. He was brought back to life. The faith of Martha and Mary was vindicated. Lazarus was brought back to life. They simply chose to trust Jesus. An interesting thing about this was the Jews believed that when a person died, their soul stayed near the body for about 3 days. That's why Jesus waited, perhaps, to the fourth day, to prove that he was Lord over death. And he brought him back to life. He had absolute control over death. God keeps his promises, and that we can trust. We don't always understand. When God seems to delay, he does keep his promises. We can trust him. He will fulfill his promises in his timing. And his timing is always for his glory. Sometimes it's not for our comfort, but it's for his glory. It's for our growth. There's a long-term plan. Jesus keeps his promises. We remember this day, we celebrate Jesus being raised from the dead. He promised that too. Jesus made that promise. Remember when we look in the Gospel of John in chapter 2, and Jesus in the early part of his ministry went into the temple and he cleared out the temple. He overturned the money changers' tables and the traders' tables. He made a whip and he was beating people. He was angry because they were desecrating his father's house, the temple. And the Jews came up to him and said, "Who do you think you are, essentially? Who do you think you are? Show us a sign. Give us a sign or a miracle to give us, to show us your authority to do what you've just done." And Jesus said, "Tear down this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days." He was in total control. And they said, "Well, that's impossible." But they didn't know what he was talking about. Later on, verse 22 of John chapter 2, the disciples understood. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that he had spoken. Jesus promised way before, "I'm going to die in 3 days later. I promise you, 3 days later, this temple will be resurrected." And he lived up to that promise. Jesus was and still is the risen Lord. We spoke about this a little earlier in the sunrise service. Jesus is not that Middle Eastern man wandering along the Sea of Galilee today. He is the glorious risen Lord. And if you don't know what he looks like, read Revelation 1 and read Revelation 19. Go back and see our risen Lord today. Everyone who sees him now falls at his feet as though dead. He is glorious in every respect. But today, people don't want to face death. I don't know if you've noticed, but we try to gloss over death in society today. We have closed casket funerals. We have quick cremations. Let's quickly get it over with so we can move on. We don't want to talk about death. No, it's almost a taboo subject. We hide from it because the world hates the fear, or they have the fear of the inevitability of death, because they don't know the resurrected Lord. And so the world hides from death, hopes it just goes away. You know, everybody else around me is going to die one day, but I'm just hoping I skip that. Every one of us will die one day, unless Jesus Christ comes and takes his church to be with him. It's an inevitability of life. I was speaking, I shared this at Oscar's funeral, and Judy will remember when if you'll excuse me, it's a little funny story, a funeral funny story that pastors can share. But do you remember Eugene's funeral? Yeah. And it was in that funeral home off Blue Ridge. And as we were sharing the funeral, I was standing by the pulpit, and everyone was facing me, but behind everyone was a large glass window. And I was speaking about this very subject, how short life is, the brevity of life, and that any one of us could die at any moment. And as I'm talking, I'm going through exactly that sentence. There's a man walking along the sidewalk. He steps into the road, begins crossing the road, and gets run over by a car. And I'm trying to remain composed because everybody's looking at me and hasn't seen what I've just seen. The guy flips over the car, hits the windshield, rolls across the top of the car, lands in the road. Here's the good part. He was inebriated. He was drunk. He bounced right up and began yelling at the car for hitting him. But I'm sharing about how short life is, and right there someone gets hit by a car. And none of us have the promise that we can give to someone else and say, I'm going to be here tomorrow. Any one of us, our lives could be taken from us at any moment. But as followers of the resurrection and the life, we are assured of life eternal. Jesus keeps his promise. Maybe today you've already made Jesus Christ Lord of your life and you've been walking with him for many years, but you're praying for your Lazarus. You're praying for that thing, that person, that calling, that mission, that business to be resurrected, and God doesn't seem to be answering. It seems like you're waiting for that miracle, but the miracle doesn't seem to be coming. God keeps his promises. But maybe it's even too late. At least in our minds, it's too late. In our understanding, it's too late. There's nothing that can be done. I want to encourage you with a scripture in Psalm 145, verse 13. And if you're in that position now, I'd say meditate on this scripture, 145, verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. God keeps his promises. He is never late. He's never too late. We can trust him with the outcome, even when we don't understand it. We can trust him with the outcome. We serve a risen Savior, and he keeps his promises. I want us to leave this place today celebrating a risen Lord. And celebrating that even when we don't see it, we know he is working his purposes. And maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord today. Maybe you don't know him as your Lord and Savior. And you have that fear of death, that fear and uncertainty of death. I invite you, what better day to give your life to Jesus Christ than today when we celebrate our risen Lord Jesus? So I invite you to come and speak to me after the service. Don't leave this place if the Lord is speaking to you. But as we close, I want to have a time for people who are just struggling today. Struggling, and the Lord hasn't seemed to answer that prayer you're praying, or you're waiting for that Lazarus to come back to life, and God seems to be delaying. And in your mind, you're saying, it's too late. I know I need a miracle, but it's not going to come. And you're doubting God. I want to invite you today to pray with one of our prayer team. They'll be on the sides of the sanctuary today. I invite you to take advantage of that and pray with someone today. Don't give up. God is faithful. Let's pray together as the worship team comes up. Father, we thank you that Jesus is alive. Yes. We thank you for the plan of salvation, yes. Just the incredible gift of the righteousness, yes. That you have given to us, yes. That you've covered us with your righteousness and you've promised us and given us eternal life. Yes. Lord, I pray for anyone here today that has maybe given up hope. They've given up hope waiting for the miracle. I pray, Lord, that you would be the God that encourages. Show us your nearness, God. May we have faith to trust in the outcome, to trust you. Lord, we've seen your glory manifest. Jesus, you said that on the cross your glory is displayed, as we saw that Friday night. It was for your glory and the Father's glory that you went to the cross. But today we celebrate the empty tomb. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are alive. I pray, Lord, that we would live every day with that reality of a resurrected Lord, that you're alive. And that you're a God who still raise dead things back to life. So we thank you, Lord, for that. May you be glorified in our lives, Lord. May we be living testimonies of the risen Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.